On to environmental issues now. You know, we've all been trained to recycle, but, you know, put those cans and bottles in the blue bin. The fact is, not all of our trash is recyclable. Many kinds of plastics end up in landfills where they might just outlive the planet. Single-use plastics are a big contributor, and it's not just landfills. Some 8.5 million metric tons of plastic ends up in the oceans each year. UNC Chapel Hill is hosting its first PlasticCon this weekend to offer a fresh perspective and education in plastics. Joining us is Robin Frohart, a Mellon Distill Fellow who has spent the last year creating art from plastic grocery bags. Welcome, Robin. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Courtney Woods, a professor in the Department of Environmental Sciences and Engineering at the UNC Gilling School of Global Public Health. Hello, Courtney.
Hi. Good to be here.
It's good to have you. But 90, is this right? 91% of plastics are really not recyclable?
Yeah, it's a pretty surprising number of plastics that are sort of in our everyday use. So, you know, it's pretty common for us to be walking around with a coffee cup with a lid that's not recyclable. Of course, water bottles, plastic water bottles have become the bane of our existence, I would say. These plastics aren't going away, going anywhere for a long time.
And these so-called single-use plastics are the big contributors. So what are some examples?
Yeah, so straws are one of the big ones that we could clearly do without. Plastic grocery bags, which, you know, nowadays, several grocery stores are accepting those, but they, you know, if you don't live near a grocery store that accepts those, then those often end up in the trash. Again, the lids on coffee cups, plastic utensils, and the styrofoam takeout containers for folks who like to eat out a lot.
All that plastic wrap that keeps the, when we take it out of that and put it in the refrigerator, all of that. Yeah. So, Robin, let's talk about your art, because you've decided to make plastic aid, as it were. talk about your art.
I've done a lot of work working with cardboard for years, was one of my main mediums. And what I liked about it was readily accessible and everywhere and free. And I started to take a look around and realize that there was so many plastic bags and that maybe that this could be a good material for art making. And I was just inspired by, well, and I don't know if inspired, discouraged and inspired.
These days, inspired, those words are always in the same sentence.
Yes, inspired by my discouragement of going, you know, to the grocery store, going anywhere and watching someone bag or double bag or triple bag all of the stuff that's already in bags. And I thought, what if there was a grocery store that only sold plastic bags? So I'm currently making an entire grocery store that's going to be an immersive installation where I'm making all of the food and all of the meat and all the produce and vegetables and everything out of plastic bags.
Actually, I've been to the grocery store where they sell that.
And
it's not an art exhibit. It's actually, sometimes $2.59 a pound.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
But it's an ingenious thing because it looks so like a grocery store display. And yet it's all, I mean, right down to the sushi.
Yeah. The plastic bag of cotto rolls.
But in addition to, so what do you think is going on here? Because I understand that this, I mean, we're laughing, and of course it's an ingenious use of something that otherwise wouldn't go away. But it's generated some conversations, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I think what I'm interested in doing with my art is sort of not really, you know, scolding people or making people feel guilty, because the plastic problem is something that's all of our fault and none of our faults at the same time. And I don't think that it's very helpful to make us feel terrible. There's plenty out there to make us feel terrible. So instead of just showing people, you know, horrible pictures of sea turtles choking on plastic bags, I'm sort of hoping to create art that's actually humorous and engaging and funny and something that you would actually want to spend more time with, in the hopes that that sort of sinks in a little bit more.
And it's kind of working, isn't it, Courtney? I mean, you've talked about just the fact that you've become more thoughtful, and this is your job, and yet this art has made you think in new ways.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, I remember proclaiming to my family that I was going to go on this plastic fast, so I was going to do without plastic for as long as possible. I failed miserably and sort of discovered that it's everywhere in our lives. And I recently challenged students in my class to try and do this for a week. And it was a really great, activity for them to reflect on how much they're using plastic and how hard it is, how much of a lifestyle change they have to make to really get it out of their lives.
And really, how much of the stuff that we didn't need in the first place is produced by plastics? So on the one hand, you say, well, if we made everything out of sort of minerals and things, what would that look like? But we wouldn't make some of this stuff, which wouldn't be that bad, to some degree. Well, I want to ask you, Robin, too, because part of your work includes a kind of a catalog, right? Sort of an archaeological look at plastics.
Yeah, so the Plastic Bag Store project, besides being an installation, there's going to be a performance and a play, basically, inside. And I make a lot of puppets and tell stories very visually. And so the narrative that's involved is about people in the future excavating all of our plastic and trying to make sense of it. Because the reality is it's going to be here for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. It doesn't decompose. So if a clay pot can last for thousands of years, think about how long a plastic water bottle might be able to last. I thought it was an interesting discrepancy by how briefly these things are in our lives and how long they actually last. And I wondered how people in the future might interpret their significance in our lives and what they were and what all these items were for. So part of my fellowship at UNC, I got to work with archaeologists who are already addressing the issue of plastic waste in their archaeological digs. They have a standard practice that anything over 50 years has to be treated like an artifact and categorized and classified. And about 50 years ago is when all of this disposable packaging started coming into our lives. So they're having to address it already now as an issue. And so we started a project called Plastic Archaeology. And you can actually follow us on Instagram. It's plastic_archaeology. And what we're starting to do is take stock of all of the plastic detritus that's around us right now and kind of create it's kind of a poetic gesture to theoretical future archaeologists who probably won't have Instagram, but just as a way to sort of categorize and classify all this stuff as it is now. And the act of what we found is the act of actually taking these pictures and just identifying what all of this detritus is, it actually really highlights a lot of the absurdity. So the posts end up being quite funny, even though they're just honest.
Well, I can see it as an exhibit with the soft light in the glass case.
Yes.
So Starbucks caps.
Well, you can see that at PlastiCon. We'll have just that very exhibit.
And it's more than that. I mean, to some extent we're making light of it because of our folly, but it really is having important consequences. In the social justice realm, I mean, talk about what it means to people here in Roseboro, North Carolina, for instance, Courtney.
Yeah, so, I mean, the fact that there's so much single-use plastic and just our habits in terms of disposing of items and sort of calling them trash and throwing them away is really a reflection of how our society has just become extremely consumptive. In terms of sort of where we're placing those things that we don't want anymore, there's a history of placing unwanted land uses like landfills, like wastewater treatment plants, and those sorts of things in communities of color and low-income communities. So, your mention of Roseboro, North Carolina is referring to the Sampson County landfill, which is the largest in the state. It's a regional landfill there that's been there since the 70s. And it currently accepts probably about 15% of the waste that's disposed of across North Carolina, wow. Considering that they're, 80 or so landfills across the state. So this is a pretty significant amount of waste that they're accepting. And, it shouldn't be any surprise that the community is largely African American.
And it's not just unpleasant. It's having health effects.
Yeah. So they are especially concerned about water quality. It's a big quality of life issue. So in rural parts of North Carolina, people are excited to spend time outside on their porches, and having a landfill that, doesn't smell good, that often attracts turkey vultures and other sort of migratory birds that, perch at people's homes, has really made the quality of life in those areas suffer. And so those are just a few of the sort of quality of life issues. But again, air quality and water quality concerns are big.
But you can see a way in which this art project and Plasticon in general brings our attention to a consumer society that has its impact top to bottom. And, of course, anybody at the lower end of the economic or social strata is going to feel it the most. And so it's the web and the connections are, I think, inescapable. And it's great that you're bringing our attention to all of this. I want to thank Courtney Woods, a professor in the Department of Environmental Sciences and Engineering at the UNC Gilling School of Global Public Health, and Robin Frohart, a Mellon Distill Fellow, collaborating with Carolina Performing Arts and UNC Academic Community to find innovative answers to problems in Plasticon. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thanks for having us.
You can meet them both this Saturday afternoon at Plasticon. The event is at the Current Art Space and also a studio in Chapel Hill. And we've got all of that information about Plasticon at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Donald Trump gave him a shout-out in Black History Month. Not sure he knew he was dead, but he tried. Frederick Douglass, his work still lives on 200 years later, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Stay tuned.